Well, I'd like to open the microphone for any questions or comments on anything that we've heard so far today. We've got 15 or 20 minutes for before the coffee break, and so we might as well fill it with some interesting discussion. Or not. The coffee won't be ready anyway, so there's no point in leaving just yet. Well, Randy, you've got your own, have you? Hi, thanks.
Hi, Trent O'Callaghan. I work for Intelligent IP, a voiceover IP, ISP based here in Perth. I was sent along for one reason today, so now you've offered the mic, I better grab it.
Sure.
It was great to see the Abster in the bag we were all handed today. The article on the Debogon project is the very reason why I was sent here today. Our address space came off the Bogon list, I think, in about December 2004, yet there are still Bogon lists out there filtering us. Particularly MCI have a really nasty one on their DNSs, and them being such a large part of the internet, it's a very big issue. So I really would like to see everyone here tell as many people as possible, because the word has to get out that the internet is broken and it needs fixing until this is done.
Okay, thanks very much. That's quite a good promotion too for Abster, so thanks very much for the for the remarks. But I think Randy will address the issue, maybe. Randy?
Address is indeed what should happen.
Address indeed, yeah.
Randy Bush, IIJ. Within ARIN, we're doing something that I believe will be of general use. The first experiment was done some months ago when ARIN was given a new block, and that is that ARIN took a subset of that block and allocated it to somebody who put it in a host through a router and announced it, and that host was pingable. And the address that could be pinged was announced on the ops lists so that anybody could test if they could reach the new block. Of course, the people who had enough clue to do this kind of testing were the very people probably who wouldn't have Bogon lists. For the next iteration of this experiment, we're planning on doing something a little more extensive and community-driven, which is we're going to make it so that end users can test usability and reachability of all sorts of address space that we worry about reachability on. It's going to take another month or so before we have that stuff in shape to distribute and documentation, et cetera. But that should be of use to APNIC and the other registries in a cooperative experiment.
So where did you say that was happening, Randy?
It's happening in ARIN.
At ARIN, right, great.
Okay, and you can beat me up about it because I essentially trying to work on the design part for ARIN. But that you are not the only one feeling this kind of pain, and so I think all the registries are working on doing something about fixing it. There's no guaranteed fix, but make it a little better.
Thanks, Randy. Rudiger.
Hi, Rudiger Volk, Deutsche Telekom. It seems to me that this problem is related to most people doing hand-made access lists. And that seems to be related in some way to the fact that tools and databases for generating things are not in a state that's desirable. I wonder very much why, after many years languages and databases have been defined in ways that are standardized and well known, the RIRs are not using the databases and the standards that are available to actually publish what address space is considered to be in use, so that the bogon lists are not required as something that comes in from second sources and is maintained by everybody by hand.
Could you just explain which tools specifically?
Well, there is RPSL. There are supposed to be several IRRs using databases that unfortunately are not up to the same security level that we are expecting to see out of a certificate system. Nevertheless, I can tell you how each of the database owners can very securely publish data in those databases. And well, okay, if you tell everybody that AS number, whatever the APNIC AS number is, colon RS active address, RS dash active address set is going to be the root set covering the address space that is being handed out, everybody can actually use that in a secure fashion.
Thanks.
Jeff Houston, APNIC. The RIRs do publish on a daily cycle addresses that are out there right now, and you can find that out from published data immediately. What you're saying, I think, is that they should be put inside a route registry. Now, the usage of route registries is not uniform, and often they're used as policy filters rather than the rather crude hammer of a bogon filter. And what we're finding with bogon filters is that people use a set-and-forget architecture. The consultant comes in, the bogon filter gets constructed, and every day you leave it the way it is, it gets less and less accurate because its granularity is too fine. Bogon filters, unfortunately, are more like security pantomime and security theatre than any actual real form of doing any kind of filtering out of addresses that shouldn't appear inside packets. So one possible sort of solution here to your problem is, why are people doing this madness? And then the next kind of question is, how can you actually mark real addresses in a way that if you wanted to do secure routing and understand where the nonsense is in routing and packets, go all the way? That's a very old discussion now. It's around 5 years old. Our impact on the security pantomime players and actors has been, unfortunately, very slight. And I'm kind of hoping that they're waiting for a better tool. But the alternative is they're lazy and nothing's going to stop them doing what they're doing, and I really don't know how to stop that.
Thanks, Jeff. Someone?
We have a question in the Jabber chat. It says, does anyone know if we have someone in the room who is involved with a recent announcement by China to run an alternative route for .com and .net? Dr. Chen, question mark. Can we comment during open mic on what exactly is happening, how it's accomplished and what effect it will have? Of course, answer limited to what is permitted to be said. And they would also like ICANN IANA, maybe David Conrad, to comment on this, please.
I'll stick my foot in it. Randy Bush, IIJ. There was a movie called Lost in Translation, which I believe applies. China is not running an alternate route.
Thanks, Randy. Anyone else care to comment? I saw a couple of notices about this recently on a couple of mailing lists and took the opportunity to ask the operators of the F&I mirrors, any cast mirrors that are in Beijing that were installed with APNIC's coordination. Those two root server mirrors are doing quite respectable query rates of 1,000 queries a second or so, which would seem to indicate that they're being used, not bypassed.
to the previous question about China and alternate routes, there's a fairly interesting discussion on CircleID.com which has something that's a little more factual than the newspaper article that's being passed around.
Well, thanks, Suresh.
Newspaper article whose mistranslation is being passed around.
Oh. So that's... Okay, so that's Circle ID. And Professor Chen? Please do, thanks.
Okay, recently a rumor, just a rumor, disseminated all over the world. The source is from the People's Daily, their website. Because recently the NII, Ministry of Information Industry, announced, published a new regulation, adding a mail.cn in our DNS system. But the other things are originally existing, not new one. Mm-hmm. For example, the IDN.IDN, the last IDN, the equivalent of the Chinese character of com, net, and China, three of them. These are created 3 years ago, not new. The initial creation is by a company called IDNS, which is not a Chinese company. They provide this kind of service. Then CNIC has to follow up to provide this kind of service to protect the users in China. So that's not new, actually. Mm-hmm. But those domain name, IDN.IDN, looks like a top-level domain. It's a room, actually not. We announced many times because we provided two different kind of IDN service. One is IDN.cn. That's natural when resolving, going to the root, INR root first, then point to the DN server.cn, then do the other things. I mean, normalization and converted to Punicode and then resolve all those names. The other kind is IDN.IDN. Actually, this kind of, because we don't have any registration under the INR root, so it doesn't work. So people want to use that. They have to download a plugin. This plugin will automatically, when people type in the IDN.IDN, automatically append to the right of the string .cn. So actually, it's also under .cn. Mm-hmm. So then when resolving this name, first going to INR root. So many people think you are giving an IDN top-level domain. Mm-hmm. You don't use INR root. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's the fact. So actually, we don't have any root in China. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to split the network to form different routes. CNIC now is actively participating in the work ICANN, IDN. Mm-hmm. We have people in the IDN PAC. And I'm also the IDN PAC co-chair, one of the co-chairs. And we hope when we doing the experiment deployed by the ICANN. When it's finished, we can if officially register the, for example, .zhongguo, means .china, mm-hmm. In the root zone file. That's good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Because the step taken by ICANN is too low. During the previous years, 5 or 6 years, many people wanted the service, IDN service, but there's not any protocol, any experiment done. So, but people in China or in Arabic countries and in non-ASCII character countries, they need this kind of service. So this doesn't mean we threw the root away. We create a new root. That's wrong. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very interesting. Thank you.
Kenny Huang, just a few words to Professor Chen's comment, because I was chair of JET, a collaborative engineering task force among Taiwan, China, and Japan and Korea. And I believe and I conclude this kind of technology actually can fulfill all kind of ITF standard, and actually the application has been demonstrated in various engineering task force and also demonstrated in the ITF, JET, and all kind of engineering community. So I think that's a rumor, and the technology itself actually has been done for a year and deployed for a year already. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, I hope we've put the rumor to rest. Good, thanks. Okay, we're just a few minutes away from the coffee break now, and it's been suggested to me that I remind everyone of the APNIC 21 feedback form, which you should all have a copy of, or if not, I'm sure we've got spares available. And that is quite important for us at the Secretariat to, as a channel for your information, for your views and opinions about how useful this meeting has been and how it could be improved. So we've tried to receive this kind of feedback for many years with varied success, and but what we've found is that bribery is a good strategy. So we do have a lucky draw, and it's an iPod of some description. I don't know if it's not enough. I was going to say I don't know if it's a big iPod or a little one. It's an iPod, okay?
No, too many, too little, just one.
Just one. You want more? Huh? Well, what about if we throw in addition? Not only is there the iPod, but I think we've got a few of these very handsome NRO memory sticks around. And they've got a... Don't we, Gerard?
I think they might have already been packed up, but we can take people's addresses and send them to them.
Well, if we can throw in some memory sticks to subsequent successful survey forms taken from the box, then we'll do that. So please... take the opportunity to fill in the form, and Holly is at the back with a yellow box there for the forms, and it'll be drawn just as soon as we get back from the coffee break, okay? So just take a few minutes to do that now.